there is just a lot of uncertainty about where things might go in this upcoming session.
This is Family Policy Matters with NC Family President John Rustin.
Welcome to Family Policy Matters. This week we will continue with part two of our conversation with Jerry Royal about House Bill 2. We hope you enjoy. Well, anything else, Jerry, that House Bill 2 does? We've heard so much about it.
Yeah, there was one other provision that was in the original law that actually has been removed, and that related to lawsuits that were brought for wrongful discharge from employment. And what had initially been part of the law was a provision that said that those causes of action could only be brought under federal law. They could be brought in state or federal court under federal law, but it would have eliminated the state law cause of action. The legislature later in 2016 reversed or repealed that section of the law. And part of the rationale when they put that provision in there, when they discussed it in the original debate, was that there are actually more remedies under federal law. But people pointed out that they still thought that it was important that the state cause of action, state law cause of action, still be part of the remedies that were available. And so the legislature chose to put that provision back into the law. But the rest of House Bill 2 has stayed in place.
Well, Jerry, according to much of what we've heard and especially seen and read in the media, North Carolina must have gone very far afield when they passed House Bill 2. Talk about that for just a minute. Was the adoption of House Bill 2 some far-out action taken by the General Assembly, or was it actually in line with what we see in other states?
Very much actually in line with what we see across the country. In fact, North Carolina is one of 28 states that basically have the same laws as it relates to non-discrimination laws. As mentioned earlier, areas like race, color, religion, national origin, and sex, and with understanding that that is biological sex. Those 28 states, as well as the federal government in their statutes, do not include sexual orientation and gender identity as protected classes. So North Carolina is very much in line with more than a majority of the states, as well as with our federal statutes.
Well, one other claim that's been made too, Jerry, by opponents of House Bill 2 is the portrayal of the notion that this bill has had disastrous effects on North Carolina's economy. Are these claims justified?
Not at all. We actually, as recently as November, there were two, and that was, of course, months after House Bill 2 was passed, really more than 6 months afterwards, that you see national ratings putting North Carolina right up at the top as far as it relates to doing business, a place to do business, and place to live in our country. Forbes and Magazine and Site Selection Magazine both rated North Carolina as number two in the nation for places to do business or the best business climate. As far as best places to live, there again, at the end of the year, there were national ratings that put a number of our cities, five of our cities in the top 100, three in the top 15 in the United States. And our economy continues to be one of the fastest growing in our country. The number of people employed has increased dramatically. The unemployment has decreased. All these indicators show that North Carolina, economically and just as far as a place for people to live, is right up at the very top.
Well, that's great information to hear, and we've seen that repeatedly in recent years, that North Carolina just has a booming economy, and as some politicians like to say, we are definitely open for business, and we are. But all of these reports show that North Carolina is doing great, that these national organizations and media outlets and others who look at these ratings and the criteria that go into these ratings on an ongoing basis continue to cite North Carolina as one of the top states in the nation for business. So that really debunks a lot of these false claims that are being made about the impact or so-called impact that House Bill 2 has had on our state. Now, Jerry, we are just about out of time for this week, but before we depart, I want to give you an opportunity just to let our listeners know what you see as the future of House Bill 2 in the current session of the General Assembly. It still remains very much a hot topic. What do you anticipate is going to happen with House Bill 2 this session?
Well, it's hard to know what is going to happen this year. There was an effort at the end of last year with some of the leadership in the legislature trying to see if there was a way to actually repeal House Bill 2, but there were a number of factors that kept that effort from moving ahead. And one of those was the fact that when part of the agreement was going to be that Charlotte would totally repeal the provisions that they had passed in February, and then that the legislature would come back and repeal House Bill 2. Well, what Charlotte did on a Monday in December was to only repeal part of their ordinance that had been passed in February, and they actually added a provision saying that once the legislature repealed House Bill 2, that they then said they would have the authority to come back and pass similar provisions. So that naturally created a lot of unrest among the legislators. The Charlotte City Council did come back a few days later and repealed what they had written on that Monday. This was on a Wednesday. They came back and said, well, we're going to repeal what we passed on Monday and repeal. They did it with one sentence, which was very clear, repealed what they had passed in February. But at that point, people already were very wary of what might happen because Charlotte actually put in writing that they saw themselves as really having the authority to come back and do what had caused all this controversy a year ago. So there is just a lot of uncertainty about where things might go in this upcoming session.
Well, and that was one of the things that we had explained to legislators in this process. There was some discussion about, and some folks use the term reset, to go back to a reset to where the Charlotte City Council would repeal their ordinances and then the legislature would come back in and repeal House Bill 2, and it would put us back to square one. But we communicated to lawmakers that it was impossible to go back to square one because of all that had happened with House Bill 2. And also the reality, as you said, that the city of Charlotte even kind of showed their hand as to what their intentions were, that if the General Assembly and when the General Assembly repealed House Bill 2 in full, that they would simply come back behind that and reenact the ordinances that that they had put in place last February. And then we saw Durham say that they were poised to enact a very similar ordinance changes to what Charlotte did. And we certainly suspect that there were other cities and or counties around the state that would look at doing the same thing. And so it was very clear that if the General Assembly repealed House Bill 2, that there was nothing to keep cities and counties from adopting these Charlotte-like ordinances and doing exactly what the city of Charlotte had done. So what was the General Assembly going to do after that? Would they come back and pass another House Bill 2? Probably not, because of all the controversy that surrounded it. So there really was no way to go back to a so-called reset before all of this activity transpired in the winter of last year. And so we just continue to encourage our lawmakers to stand firm on House Bill 2. When the governor called the special session near the end of December, the week before Christmas, to look at this repeal, both the House and Senate Republican caucuses clearly did not have the votes within their caucus to favor a repeal of House Bill 2. And so they adjourned that special session, taking no action on House Bill 2, which we were grateful for. But I think it still shows the commitment that a lot of legislators in the General Assembly have towards standing firm on House Bill 2.
You're listening to Family Policy Matters, a resource from NC Family. To listen to our radio show online and for more resources that will help you be a voice of persuasion in your community, go to our website at ncfamily.org.
Well, Jerry, what can citizens who are interested in House Bill 2, who feel that it's an important measure to keep in place, the things that you've talked about, the bathroom privacy and safety measures, the other measures that are consistent with the Dillon's Rule doctrine, that cities and counties only derive the authority that they have from the General Assembly and from the Constitution, and that it's really our state lawmakers who have the proper role of making decisions about these anti-discrimination laws in North Carolina, and that it's proper for them to rein in city and county governments if they go too far. What can citizens do if they are interested in and continue to be concerned about the legislature considering bills that would repeal House Bill 2?
Well, on our website at ncfamily.org, you can see a lot of the history of House Bill 2. In the search box there on our website, if you just put in HB2, it'll pull up all the publications that we have produced relating to House Bill 2. As far as actually getting involved and responding, we also on our website, if you click on Get Involved, and then it has Take Action, which you can click on there, and it'll take you to a section where there's information about House Bill 2 and specifically how you can contact your members of the North Carolina House and Senate through email. And also, as we've mentioned previously, in addition to emails, it's great to be in touch with them on an even more personal level through phone calls or even a personal visit.
Well, Jerry, I'd also like to mention that we do have a special edition of our flagship publication, Family North Carolina Magazine, that is dedicated to straightening out a lot of these misperceptions about House Bill 2. It's a great resource. It kind of approaches the House Bill 2 issue from a variety of different perspectives, and the feedback that we continue to get on that publication in particular is very, very strong. People find it to be very, very helpful to understand all of the dynamics that are at play on this very important issue. So I do want to encourage our listeners, if they don't have a copy of that edition of Family North Carolina Magazine, to go to our website and go to the magazine page, and you can download a copy of the entire magazine edition there, or you can read those individual articles online. And that can be found at ncfamily.org. And I would just encourage our listeners, if this is an issue that is of interest and concern to you, that you do take action. Even if you've contacted your legislators before, now is the time to do it again as they come back into session and as they are revisiting this issue and hearing about it discussed within the halls of the General Assembly, and especially the new members of the legislature who have not had the privilege of dealing with this issue over the last year. I think it's important for them to understand where citizens within their districts are coming from as it relates to this issue and others. So as we always do, we want to encourage citizens to be active and engaged, to reach out to your lawmakers, and know that it really does make a difference when you do that. It's important for them, for these state lawmakers, to hear from folks back home, and they really do consider what folks back home have to say.
It is. It's always important, but as we have seen, because this issue has gone on for so long, this is a very important part of the life of our state. I think that we all need to communicate with each other about what we think is best for our citizens.
Well, and Jerry, in that light, too, I think it's important to recognize the role that North Carolina has nationally in this. We have really been the focal point of a lot of the discussion and debate around privacy and safety legislation like House Bill 2, as well as the other provisions that are contained in the bill. And a lot of states continue to look to North Carolina as a leader and an example in this area. And it is so important for our legislators to stand firm, to continue to defend this law, because it does set a standard for other states across the nation. And fortunately, with the new year upon us and legislatures going into session across the country, we have seen a number of state legislatures in a number of other states take up legislation like this. So they understand how critically important it is to protect the privacy and safety of women and children in public facilities like bathrooms, showers, locker rooms, and changing facilities, and have sought to pursue legislation similar to House Bill 2. And with that, Jerry Royal, I want to thank you so much for your continued great work on behalf of families and family values in the North Carolina General Assembly, and otherwise through your work here at the North Carolina Family Policy Council. And just want to encourage our listeners to reach out and contact your lawmakers about this and other important matters as the General Assembly gets cranked up for the 2017 legislative session.
You're welcome, John. And again, it's a blessing to work together with you and other citizens across the state.
Yeah. You've been listening to Family Policy Matters, a production of NC Family. To listen to our radio show online and for more valuable resources and information about issues important to families in North Carolina, go to our website at ncfamily.org and follow us on Twitter and Facebook.